In the name of Jesus, amen. So in our gospel reading, we have some animal imagery. We have chickens, we have foxes. It's St. Patrick's Day tomorrow, and St. Patrick, of course, a Christian lore, drove out snakes who represent evil from Ireland. Scripture talks about the wolf and the lamb lying down together and a little child leading them. Scripture has a strange way of viewing animals, a new creation of animals, and not like the old creation, you could say, or nature's rules, where the wolf and lamb together in this life become lamb chops. We could look at it that way with a hen and a fox in our reading today. Jesus is about to finish his course, but he does so using an image of a hen or a chicken. Given the price of eggs, we might think that maybe we want chickens too today. I know here in New York, I've seen chickens in Queens, even here in Manhattan. They're allowed. You can have chickens. So even for New Yorkers, we maybe could relate to Jesus' image today. You've heard the old saying, right? Don't let the fox guard the hen house. My grandmother raised chickens, and I remember the struggle to keep those chickens safe so they can lay those eggs and produce something good. Foxes, natural predators, that's what they're hardwired to do. Hens, by nature, are vulnerable creatures. They make a pretty delicious meal for the hungry and determined fox. That's just the way things go here in the big city and in nature. The foxes get ahead, it seems. The hens get eaten and devoured. Look closely, because here in the inspired words of Jesus, we discover, right, the hen actually finishes the course. The hen stands up to the fox. Our Lord is fearless at the start of our reading today. He's against the dire warnings of the Pharisees. He's got lots of enemies on his side here. Get away from here, they say, for Herod wants to kill you, enemy number two. The Pharisees are one thing, religious teachers, but Herod has got proxy political power. And Herod, King Herod Agrippa, who ruled over the reign of region of Galilee, wasn't just one of empty threats. He had already proven this with John the Baptist, put his head on a platter, an innocent man, one who was respected. Well, Herod would probably do this again. And yet in the face of that very real threat, Jesus shows a remarkable flash of courage. Go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons. I perform cures today and tomorrow. And the third day, I finish my course. This is the hero of the faith. Jesus leans in right into the warnings. He's fearless. He's a mother hen who will fight for his chicks, you and me. He's the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. You and me, chicks, sheep, vulnerable creatures that we are, standing up to the fox. Jesus knows his calling. He knows what he's about. And because he's so sure in who he is and why he was sent, he's able to not focus on self-preservation. He's not concerned about justifying himself before others. He doesn't let others dictate to him how he should feel or what schedule he should keep. There's no pressure on Jesus here. He is fearless. Our Lord knows the one he is to please. He knows the one who has all authority. He knows the one greater than Herod, God the Father. And there's no time to lose for Jesus. So he's ready to throw down, and he's ready to lay down his life for the sins of the world. And there's also joy. There's a little humor, isn't this, in this reading of Jesus, in this work, because for Jesus, it's a labor of love. Well, for us as Christians, right, we have labors of love in service to the Lord. Today's readings are about prophets of old. We had Jeremiah, who's known as the weeping prophet, had a tough time, the lamenting prophet. We have Moses before him, who had some serious anger management issues and had to wrestle with people for 40 years in the wilderness. And even Moses was not allowed to see the promised land because he too had fallen short of the glory of the Lord. And now we have Jesus, the one great prophet of them all. As part of the Great Commission, right, you and I have been called to be witnesses to this prophetic word. Sure, pastors do that in our particular office, but we all do that, don't we, in particular and many in various ways. God has called us to be prophetic in the words we use, to honor His name, to love others, to live with integrity as the people of God, following the commands of the Lord in our daily life, that others would see our good works and honor our Father in heaven. That's a prophetic calling we all have to the world. And like Jesus, we should know that it's God, not people, we're aiming to please. Jesus is secure in who He is and able to do what He needs to do. St. Paul says in Colossians 3:23, reflecting on Jesus and His discipline and His identity, "Whatever you do, work it with all of your heart, as for the Lord, and not for human masters or opinions, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as your reward," or as our second reading says, our citizenship is in heaven. Like Jesus, we go about life's work as Christians fearlessly, courageously, unapologetically. We are firm in who we are, baptized, forgiven, redeemed, children of God. My worth is not determined by others. My worth is determined by God, who showed it to me by giving me Jesus Christ and you, Jesus Christ. We live in that courage, knowing that there is joy in it. We can have some humor sometimes. It's a labor of love. And that brings us right to the second part of our gospel reading. We have Jesus standing firm. "Tell that fox, go away. I've got a world to save." And we have Jesus then showing compassion, showing what kind of leader He really is. Jesus, a hen, a chicken. I'll be honest, as inspiring as Jesus' courage in the face of Herod's threats, there's also something very comforting about this, isn't it? Here's the Savior who understands our pain. He is sure of who He is, yet even the Son of God allowed time in His work to simply stop what He's doing and lament. Lament. Lament for the sorry spiritual state of the affairs in His land at His time. Lament for the stubbornness of people's hearts towards God's word. Lament on what happens to prophets. He knew the scripture better than anybody. Lament to the suspicion of that word, the refusal to listen. Lament of the pride that keeps us all from admitting weakness, that somehow we have to be tough without realizing where our toughness comes from God. It's a pattern that goes back to the beginning, definitely back to Jeremiah. And like Jeremiah, Jesus weeps. The citizens of Jerusalem wouldn't stand for any critical words spoken against them. They're too defensive. This man deserves death. He's prophesied against our city. The first commandment, right? "You shall have no other God before the Lord." Anything you fear, love, or trust in more than God breaks it. As I was hearing how the leaders of Jerusalem reacted to Jeremiah, I thought of another way to tell if something may have become an idol in our lives. And that's if you can't bear to hear anything negative spoken about it. If you get defensive, even things that are true, you can't bear to have anyone say anything negative. Isn't that an idol? How well do we handle criticism of ourselves and others? If our knee-jerk reaction is to defend or take things personally and dish things back, aren't we the ones who need to listen? Who are we choosing to protect with our pride? Jesus was not just lamenting over Jerusalem. He was lamenting over you and me, our defensiveness, our misplaced pride, all of it, all who do not listen. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered your children together, Jesus says, as a hen gathers her brood or under her wings. And you were not willing. You were defensive. You were proud. There's sorrow in Jesus' lament here. There's honesty. But I hope you also hear what's beautiful there. Almost maternal love that Jesus is expressing. Jesus, who does not image himself as a fox here, but as a hen. Love to the loveless, shown that they might lovely be, as a poet put it in a Lenten hymn. Jerusalem would be forsaken. History shows it. Jesus said it. Not forever. It's not forever. But for only 3 days, as the world briefly seemed to have silenced its greatest and most passionate prophet, the one who ultimately spoke in love. But Jesus will never forsake his church, and he won't forsake you and me. He wouldn't let himself be totally silenced. He is risen. He would no sooner forsake himself, mocked and slandered, stripped and killed, than to see even one of his dear little chickens, you and me, lose their eternal life. Chickens, sheep, here we are, led to Jesus Christ. It's early in the Lenten season. I got much more to hear. There's a little more time to confess some vulnerabilities, to not be defensive, to let our guard down a bit, to let God work in our lives. We all know then what the cross meant and is necessary again. You know the Easter festival awaits. Lament leads to hope. Weeping endures for the night, Scripture says, but joy comes in the morning. What a difference it makes, doesn't it? Having that hope, even in the midst of the weeping, that our fearless and tenacious Jesus Christ and our tender and compassionate Jesus Christ lives on. And we've been forgiven and able to live with him beneath his wings of mercy. Amen.